Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Gentlemen. There's finally been competitive rugby. Not sevens rugby, not the bastardised form of the game, actual 15s.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
Wonderful.
I'm guessing neither of you watched anything, though.
I have now watched everything.
A likely story. And you, Tim?
I have watched extended highlights of both games and a little bit of bits and bobs from other pre-season matches and top 14.
Excellent. So we'll be talking about Tim's extended highlights and Jason Leonard's extended shorts all in the pod. Hands in, pod on three. One, two, three.
Pod.
Hello and welcome to the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. Thank you for listening, thank you for subscribing, and if you haven't subscribed, please do so. Also, you can find us on Twitter at The Rugby Podcast. And also...
There's no the.
Oh, no, that's The Rugby Dungeon. Sorry. Rugby Podcast. Oh,
thank you.
Oh, what a disaster. And if you want, leave us a iTunes review also. I believe you might have an iTunes review lined up for us, Tim.
I've got two, gentlemen.
No, you haven't.
Harold Germain said, waiting to come across an equally good podcast is like waiting for it to be Gloucester's year.
Oh, goodness me.
And Fan Prem Rugby said, this is the most valuable unofficial voice in rugby. Just like what classes as an official or unofficial voice?
Not Brian Moore's Full Contact, that's for sure.
Not anymore.
Not anymore, yeah.
What classes? That's a good question. What does class an official voice?
I'm quite happy to be unofficial, to be honest.
No, I want to be very official. I want people to take me very seriously.
I think we're taking it seriously anyway, so
it's
the review goes on from
it's
Fan
like
Prem Rugby.
People. It's like those people that say, oh, in my funeral, I want everyone laughing and dancing and having a good time. Oh, no, not me. I want them crying.
I want
them devastated.
So the review goes on. I listen to a whole host of rugby podcasts, and despite disagreeing on their perspective at times, I have to say these guys are the Northern Hemisphere authority, in brackets, disclaimer for those expecting anything in depth on Southern Hemisphere beyond impersonations of names like Binsmuth or words like Daiboo or Aussie names like Metamua or Joe Tamani. In a sport where honest perspective and commentary is often painfully blanketed with eggshells, those guys are a very necessary breath of fresh air.
Well, I tell you what, I'll be walking around on eggshells this week, next week, and probably for the foreseeable future regarding Welsh rugby, because I have had nothing but talk. I had 500 messages on my personal Twitter this week alone over the subject of Welsh rugby. You wouldn't believe it.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. That fact, there's 400 on Thursday. 400.
That'll learn you. That'll learn you.
Yep. I will never talk about Welsh rugby ever again. But you know what? I never did anyway.
I'll tell you what else melted down the internet was these Ben Ryan's Iron Lions, Iron Lion Ryan song.
It most certainly did.
We got a lot of people saying that they've just had that in their head all week. So, but I'm not sorry for that. Yeah, it's an amazing tune.
Well, it just shows how little I know about anything. I didn't realise that was a song before it was a song. I thought Lion Ryan. Iron or whatever it was the original.
Yeah, we'll do a little bit of Bob Marley catch up with you there, Jay.
No, I'm good, thanks. I'm not open to exploring other cultures, so I'm quite happy where I am.
All right.
Shall we kick off with some actual rugby then, boys?
Go on.
Shall we go with... Australia, New Zealand.
Well, if we're going to talk Australia and New Zealand, the first thing we should talk about is not actual rugby. It's the bugging devices that have been found in the team's hotel rooms.
I don't believe that this is a thing.
Well, before we do that, guys, can I just say, if you want to take to a hotel room, or any other room for that matter, a device...
Yes.
Then I would make sure it's a Cornerstone razor, personally.
That's exactly where I thought that was going.
I hoped it was going there.
Go on, Jay. You take it away, mate. I was going to say,
why don't you tell us all about Cornerstone? But you know what? I'll do it. Cornerstone are a subscription razor service delivered direct to your door with a an engraved shaft. German precision engineering, better than the likes of GQ, better than the likes of Wilkinson Sword. And we know this because they've won important awards. All you need to do is go onto their website /eggchasers, or should I do it myself?
Yeah. So cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. Get your free engraved handle for an order, first order of just £4, because you get a £10 discount because you listen to us. Cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers or
Egg 10 at checkout. That's the one, isn't it? I've got one job. Egg 10 at checkout. Nailed it again. So, spying.
Bug gate.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you think this is a thing?
No, I don't, is my initial thought. I just think, if you have an organisation like the ARU, which is where the fingers are pointing, they are just too big and too official to indulge in anything like this. There's too much to lose.
The fingers were initially pointed at the ARU, and then the ARU did a sweep of their room, and they also found a similar bugging device.
Did they?
Yes. So, or so they say. Because that's what you would say if you'd been caught planting a bugging device.
Well, and that's what you do if you were scanning your own storeroom.
I'm Kaiser Soze. although I would say, boys, this isn't the first time there's been this kind of controversy. In 2008, Steve Hansen accused Australian television stations of capturing practices illegally and then feeding it to the ARU. And in 2013, a long lens photographer captured bits of paper that Graham Henry was holding to get special information, and they found out New Zealand's plans of how they were going to deal with Matt Gitto before a Tri Nations decider.
How were they going to do that? Do we know what the plans were?
I know. Well, I'm sure they're online somewhere if you're interested. But no, I haven't got a clue.
I've got a marginally interesting story.
Go on.
Very marginally interesting. Well, I've kind of been in this situation before, with the All Blacks and them training, and so have you, Phil.
Yes, I remember it very well.
And they were preparing for a game, and they kicked us out of the stadium on the strength that we are press, which I think's a stretch. But that's what they did. They said, you've got to leave the stadium right now. No, you've got to leave the field right now.
Yeah.
So we just went to the owner's box of the Chicago Bears and watched it from, like, 20 stories up or however high
it is. Yeah, incredible perspective, like almost directly on top. Because of the way the stadium's constructed, you're almost on top of the touchline.
Oh, sorry. yeah, so this actually isn't that hard. And in fact, I'm amazed it hasn't happened before, which leads me to think this is the sort of thing you could level at an opposition just because you feel like it. Because when the All Blacks trained in the United States, anyone could have watched. Even though they said you couldn't, anyone could have watched.
Yeah.
And there was hundreds of people in the stands who were allowed to watch. It would be no problem whatsoever.
There's a difference between people watching and then, like, the accusations you mentioned earlier from 2008, Tim, where people have recorded stuff and then sent it through to the ARU. That's two different situations. But this is... I just find it odd. Like, what are you going to learn from a team meeting like that?
Where was the tweet that we got? It was very good. I'm going to give credit where credit is due. It was from Ross Waterhouse. No. Ben Bellamy, who said, surely all that would have been heard would be heavy sweeping and tape collecting.
Wow. And you probably hear a lot of kids' voices. You know, they're holding hands, you know, showing them around. There's some voices of old people doing their community outreach work. There'd be all sorts of things.
Well, bearing in mind the New Zealand team suspected it happened at the World Cup, and so they now have people that do sweeps of their hotel rooms.
It's
interesting that they only found the bug after they'd had a team meeting. I reckon they might have found it before and then staged a meeting, because clearly the way Australia played, they could have ended up sabotaging themselves. You never know.
That's not a bad idea, actually. In fact, that's almost certainly what happened.
Yeah,
it was an unholy mess, this game.
Go on.
It was another. Let me give credit to another tweet as well, because during the game, Ross Waterhouse tweeted to @RugbyPodcast and said, "Call the UN. There's been an international incident." It was horrendous.
Didn't I tweet that?
No, I think Ross Waterhouse did.
Well, me and Ross are... Well, Ross is clearly a very bright man.
Great minds. Yeah.
Very funny, bright man. it was an absolute disaster. I mean, this is one of the biggest rugby disasters I can remember in the last 3-4 years. This is so far off the scales of rugby disasters. It's incredible. Australia thought they were going to win this. I kind of thought it'd be competitive. But it wasn't even close.
No.
It wasn't even close to being close at half time.
It was 32-3 at half time.
Oh my god! I felt like I was watching a snuff film or something.
And it was remarkable just how easy it was for New Zealand, because their tries were just simple hands. There were so many times where they just used simple hands and had an overlap and coasted in.
Yeah, they were so far ahead of Australia. I couldn't even tell you what Australia did wrong. They just feel like they lost every possible collision. But do you know when you watch two school teams play and one doesn't even show up, can't contain even the most simple of moves? Well, that's basically what we were watching.
Yeah,
I know. I just feel sorry for Aussies in general, because they'll be able to remember a time, you know, in the not too distant past, when they would look at an Olympic medal table and laugh at us Poms and how much they battered us.
Yep.
Yeah.
When we came and played a 3-test tour in their back garden, we would never win. And now, not just getting beaten in a Bledisloe match, just getting humiliated. Although I did like the conspiracy theory that one Aussie wrote that they were deliberately let themselves get flogged just to spite the English fans to make us feel less smug about our 3-0 whitewash.
No. It did make me feel a little bit less happy about the English performances in Australia, to be honest.
And it made me feel a lot happier about the Welsh
performance.
Wales put some points on the board against them.
Yeah. Just a couple of stats here from the game. I'm not going to really go through all of it, but meters made, 839 for New Zealand, 300 for Australia. Line breaks was 22 for New Zealand, 2 for Australia.
Oh 22 my God.
2.
Oh my word.
And there's 40 missed tackles by Australia as well, which is not pretty at all. They're all some of the worst stats I've ever seen.
Do you know what? It makes me think, what is next for this team? Because usually when you lose 3 games at home, make that a 4th game at home now,
yeah,
to historic opposition who you thought you might beat, I would look at getting rid of the coach. But the problem is, there is not a single other Australian coach who could step in and do that. You look at someone like Larkham. Well, Larkham isn't a good international coach. He's probably better off at the Brumbies. You've got... there's no one else. Eddie Jones.
Go on, Stu.
Oh, goodness me, no. And the guy they've got in charge is the best man for the job.
Yeah,
he is a tremendous coach. He's got great pedigree. He's won things, unlike Steve Hansen at club level. I don't know where they go. It is a really miserable situation for Australia.
It is. They've got a few injuries. And, I mean, the injuries during the game do not help at all. So losing Matt Gitto after 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And don't worry, you've got two international calibre 12s on the bench.
Yeah, no problem,
So you just bring Matt Tamur on, who then gets injured. So you just bring Rob Horn on, who then gets injured.
Well, you've got Nick Phipps, right?
Not really international class. Back other than a 9. Although he did take his try very well at the end when it was... I mean, the game was done long, long before that happened.
Do you want to hear some incredible insight?
Yes, please, Tim.
Yes.
Stephen Moore in the post-match press conference. Incredible insight, this. I mean, this is all his years of experience and tactical nous. Stephen Moore, quote, "It wasn't good enough," end quote.
Wow.
He looked like Stephen Moore. You know how some people have resting bitch face? He has resting baffled face. He just looked so scared.
Well, I think Stephen Moore is suffering from an extreme version of what Mike Delaney suffered from last year. I think it's a form of PTSD.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
boy, he's basically spent 3 years on the Eastern Front now. It's what else can you do? I mean, he says it's not good enough. They've got nobody else to throw in. That is their strongest team. They even flew the stars over from France.
Yeah.
And they still did nothing.
Hmm.
I literally have no suggestions on how they can improve.
When the opposition locks are outrunning your backs, you know it's a bad day at the office.
Well, that yeah, because so far we've spoke about how poor Australia were. New Zealand were brilliant in their simplicity, but part of it, I mean, the handling when they were just using hands and going wide, it seemed not to matter who was in that back line. There are times where. Whitelock's pick up off his toes, takes into contact, offloads out the back door, onto the reserve hooker.
Who's actually the starting hooker now?
Well, sorry, no, that was onto Cody Taylor, not the reserve.
Oh, so, right, okay.
Yeah, who's, he did start, but only because of injury to Nathan Harris and to Dane Coles, who played despite not being 100%. It was, the basic level skills were exceptional.
Can I make a statement?
Go on.
And I want you to kind of agree or disagree.
Okay.
Beauden Barrett. Is he the best player in the world without being the best fly half in the world?
Do you say that because his kicking at sticks is not always 100%?
Correct.
He was 50 something percent. I think it was 56%.
Yeah, which simply isn't good enough. But everything else is just another level.
I'd say possibly, yeah. I would be more comfortable with someone else kicking, with a backup kicker, if you had a kicking fullback or...
Lee Halfpenny.
Someone like Lee Halfpenny.
If I was Lee Halfpenny now, I'd get on the phone to Beauden Barrett and say, look, mate, we come as a package deal. If they sign you, we will go for we'll go somewhere for 800,000 between the two of us and we'll split it right down the middle. What do you say?
I think they could get more than 800,000.
Yeah, no, a cool mill.
Yeah, at least. Beauden Barrett, if Dan Carter's a million a year and Curtly Beale is 750,000 a year.
No, he's not. Is that how much he is?
That's the reported figure.
Curtly Beale?
That's the reported figure at Wasps.
Yep.
Oh.
So you're talking closer to 2 million for those two players.
What is a package deal worth for those two? 3 years for those two.
Close to 2 million a year.
Tim?
My thought on what
bearing in mind the salary cap 6 million a year.
Oh, sorry.
Well, they're just both your marquee players.
Both, yeah. Okay. What do you reckon, Tim? Would you pay 2 million a year for a package deal, a package holiday of Barrett and Halfpenny?
I like to think myself more of a kind of Harry Redknapp Wheeler Dealer coach that would get maybe 10 players for that and do better. Or Steve Diamond in the rugby context.
Yeah, that's but not a bad shout.
I wrote down, on because, you know, believe it or not, I actually do consider some of what I say before a podcast. And I've written, I'm just looking at a bit of paper here where I wrote yesterday when I was watching the game, Beauden Barrett, form player in the world. So I would stop short of saying best player in the world.
Okay.
I would say form player in the world. There is no one right now playing better than he is. And I don't care how you fit him into that All Black team, but at 10, he seems to have, and this is the mark of a great player, and this is what excites me about the potential of Henry Slade in the future as a 10. He seems to have so much time when he has the ball, even under pressure. He's but as Phil was talking about the basic skills, there is no one that has a wider selection of skills done perfectly than him, and he's quicker than most wingers.
Yeah. That's the one, isn't it? I think it's the electric speed.
That his try where Reed got hit hard by Kurindrani, offloaded, and he was just away. He just gassed through the gap so comfortably.
Now, I'm no expert on New Zealand rugby, so I'm in no place to say what their options are. But does this not make a really good argument for Damien McKenzie coming in? Because he is a kicker.
A kicking fullback.
Yeah.
That's an interesting... It would solve that problem. Yeah.
But I know there are people in New Zealand now probably banging their head against the wall thinking that is definitely not the solution for whatever reason it'll be. But there must be a reason that he's not in there.
Well, you've got two class fullbacks on the pitch already in Ben Smith and Israel Dagg. But and Damien McKenzie is in the wider squad. So maybe it's not a bad option.
No.
Are we looking at this back to front? Are we looking at this with kind of a old school head? I don't know that we are, but perhaps we are. We're actually the kicking is something that is transient and can be better and should be better and could be focused on, but the rest of the skill set is stuff you can't teach.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I agree with you, except for this. See, I think it should be the kicking distribution. Oh, let's start again. I think the kicking duty should be distributed among other people, right? But the fact is, it isn't. And he is responsible for that. And as it is part of his job, it has to be factored in.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I agree with that. I would actually say that Beauden Barrett, so 56% in that game, and there have been a few question marks over the year. His kicking overall is generally pretty good, and he missed a few from distance. He also slotted a few from the touchline, and he normally kicks in pretty bad conditions, and he's not as bad. It's not as big a weakness as you might think.
Mm. Talking about one other player, did anyone notice that Sam Kane appears to have sort of spent the last few months making his hair, facial hair and just head, resemble Richie McCaw as closely as he could? I wonder if it's just a tactic to try and just to fool the ref into thinking that Richie's still there and they can get away with being offside.
If you're going to look like someone, I'd probably go for Richie McCaw.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a seven. It's tried and tested.
It just works. It just works.
Yeah.
On the flip side, on the Aussie side, I think one of the big areas that just gave Beauden Barrett and New Zealand just running riot is Australia were uncharacteristically and completely ineffective at the breakdown.
Yes. Yeah. I think partly that was the way it was refereed. But they were poor. They were giving penalties away. Their decision-making was poor. And they weren't strong enough.
Do you think there's too much made out of the double sevens and hoping that they get to the breakdown and competing, when actually maybe they just leave it alone?
It's less than a year ago, and that was the formula for a World Cup final spot.
Except for when Gustard starts revolutionising Saracens and saying, leave it alone, fast press, does the same for England, fast press. Maybe that could be the way you go about beating New Zealand, if there is a way.
Yeah, if there is a way.
Because it's certainly not playing those tandem sevens.
No. But I don't know what else they could have done. Because they are the best two players. And you almost had three sevens because you had Benny McAlmon.
Yeah.
Well, I hope that they come in. I do hope that they come unstuck. Not because I want New Zealand to lose per se. I just want to see somebody figure it out. Because that's what excites me.
Is there any hope for either Australia? Well, is there any hope for Australia rectifying the situation? It must be hard to see. You're staring down the barrel already.
Well, who have they got next, Phil? Do you know?
Yes.
Go on.
New Zealand.
Brilliant.
In New Zealand.
Brilliant.
So they're not going to sort it out next week.
No, they're not. But they've got a third game against them right at the end of the tournament, yeah?
Yeah. They'll then go off and play South Africa and Argentina.
They could really do with the rest.
Yeah.
Right, well...
No simple solutions for Australia, shall we say.
No, let's move on from Australia, because I don't think there's much hope. Let's talk about another game. South Africa-Argentina. Who saw this?
Not live, but I've seen the extended highlights
since.
Okay, so I'm going to make a bit of a statement now. I think Argentina are the new France, and France are the old Argentina.
How are you qualifying that?
Back in the day, Argentina could scrimmage and do nothing else. Is now France.
And France used to play this incredible offloading, flooding through when they make a break.
Exactly, and could beat anyone on their day. And I think that is Argentina. They've beaten South Africa away. They gave them a damn good run for their money this time around, and they can still scrimmage. So Argentina or the new France.
Yeah, I can see that.
And they both got nice kits.
Yeah, they do have nice kits.
Yeah, wow.
This is an interesting game. Let's do this back to front. Did anyone see the very last play?
Yes.
It was incredible. He tried to kick to touch.
Whiteley.
After scoring.
Combrink kicked it to touch from a penalty just short of the halfway line, five or so metres in. Driving maul. Warren Whiteley in the left-hand corner. Can I just say on Warren Whiteley, a good player, but
cracking player.
South African number eight, he does not look like a South African number eight.
No, do you know who he sort of reminds me of, breaks myself to be mocked, is a South African Kieran Reid. Operates in the wire channels, nice hands, good gas.
Yeah.
He's not a... Yeah. Dwayne Vermillion, or however you say his name, sort of.
Yeah,
Vermillion. I'm sure Vermillion was that Vermillion. Not a
is that
band
an ice cream?
In the 80s or 70s band or something.
I thought it was a flavour of ice cream. Vermaelen, that's a better pronunciation of it. Yeah, I think he's that kind of player, and actually, he should play captain, do everything, because they should just base all of what they do on what the Lions do.
And they've started to. They had a fair few of them in the team, didn't they?
Yeah.
You had Combrink, you had Mapoey, you had Yantis and Faf.
I tell you what, Yantis really excites me.
Yeah.
He might be one of the few guys that can hold a candle up to Bowden Barrett in terms of his open play, his feet, his gas. Maybe not as good a passer, but definitely a better kicker. In fact, can you confirm that for me?
That he's a better kicker?
Yes, statistically.
In this game, let me get the stats up. I can just
go on.
Bowden Barrett was 56%. Yantis was 60%.
Well, you know,
so cold hard stats prove you right, JB.
Exactly, and they always say, don't they, at the top level of the game, it's about the 1 or 2%.
Exactly, the fine margins.
Fine margins.
Yeah.
quite a good game, not to the caliber of the New Zealand game. I am worried about Argentina. Do you not think they're just due kind of a raft of retirement soon?
Well, Lobbe wasn't there, was he?
Nope, he's going to be going soon.
But because Lobbe was playing for Toulon. Hernandez played and probably is due retirement soon. Besides that, I mean, how many else are especially old?
No, that's a note I made. I was amazed how young this Argentinian side is. Some real promise. And again, as we've talked about before, if we were going to have predicted a hiding for one team or another, it would have been Argentina travelling to South Africa, because Jaguares have just been a joke. And it's clearly they're even more party boys than we thought, because the Jaguares season in Super Rugby was just a 6 month long team social with a bit of rugby.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons it was such a social is it's kind of like a homecoming for everyone who played in Europe, and they thought, well, it's my last season, let's go and enjoy it.
Yeah. No, I look at that team and there's a lot of young talent, some really good players.
I love the look of Matera.
Well, the guy from Leicester.
Yeah, I know. I can't believe it's the same guy.
Yeah, I find that weird. He did so little in the Prem, and yet he's a bit of a superstar in Argentina.
He came across when he was only like 19 or 20, though, didn't he?
He did.
So it's possibly a bit too early for him.
And
but those two young wingers as well, Cordero and Montero.
Yeah.
Now, which one of those is the sevens player? There is a sevens player in that. Is it Montero?
He's a massive man.
Yeah, he's a big boy. He's like 6'4".
No, it mustn't be him then. They've got one guy in seven, not the guy who's just been playing sevens.
Oh, is that Orlando? No.
Orlando, the 13 who scored.
Oh, he's the 13 who scored. Oh, I don't know, actually.
Cordero played in the under-20s. He might have played a bit of sevens, actually. Mm. He's a very good player, Santiago. Played in the under-20s about 2 years ago.
Mm. And what is it? I also wonder, like, what is there in Argentina underneath that top level?
Well, that is a big question, isn't it? You almost think that they should use... So the Jaguares is basically the national team who gets played together week on week. And all their other talented players, they send out to France and England, like Matera did.
Yeah.
You, because that's the only way to get...
See, I would be doing it the other way around. I would have Jaguares having all the young talent is, and as soon as you get like 28 or something like that, send them off to France for their big payday, free up a space and get some more talent in from Argentina. At a reasonable price.
But then having your... There's a lot to be said about having your best players, your national team, not just playing 10 internationals this season, effectively playing 30 games with each other a season.
Games they're playing off the field, clearly.
Yes.
No, do you know what? I don't buy that at all. I don't buy it because we've seen it at Jaguares. We see it in the Welsh regions and, to a lesser extent, the Irish regions. It doesn't always make for winning teams.
It does with New Zealand, though. I mean, you've only got the same players spread across five teams.
Yeah, I guess New Zealand is not atypical of any union, though, is it?
No.
They give away their best players when they get over a certain age, just like I say. But they, well, they manage to keep everyone somehow. They don't seem to pay them that much.
It may be a small population, but it's interesting when every boy wants to be an All Black.
Yeah, it's the prestige of the All Blacks shirt, isn't it? Every single person.
Do you want to know a fact about New Zealand?
Go on.
Apparently, they've got more registered soccer players than they have rugby players, which amazed me. And this only changed like 5 or 6 years ago.
What?
Yeah.
Is that because they've got more women? So you've got some men and a lot of women?
No, I think this was just boys.
Wow.
That fact needs to be substantiated, but I'm right.
Yeah, we need some live fact-checking going on here. Yeah. My favourite headline ahead of this game, which I clocked, was because the prop cock was on the bench.
You love
No, Vincent. Hang on. Is Tim going to make a joke about a naughty word? Hold on, everyone. Here it comes. Go on, Tim.
Cocks out to bury demons.
I'm just about laughing with you here.
Good work. No, and I really like the look of that guy as a player. And look at that other young prop. He's going to be out injured, of course. But Faf.
Yeah. All about Faf.
Yeah, all about Faf.
There are headlines here like, no Faf today, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
No faffing about. There is some inventiveness.
Yeah, they need to work on that. But he's looking to be a bit of a game changer of a player, isn't he?
I don't know. I think he is. He's a very, very good player. Do you not just think he's wild?
Yeah, but he appears to be becoming a bit more controllable. So he's turns the wildness on and off to an extent. The acceleration and the pass back inside for the try, the second of the two tries with 10 minutes to go, was awesome. And just a lot of his general skill set is pretty good.
It's pretty good. Every now and again, he throws a pass into the crowd or something like that.
Yeah. And I'm amazed tries a deliberate knock-on.
Yeah, I'm amazed he's not got yellow carded for that yet. How many yellow cards has Brian Habana had in his entire career?
I know the answer to this.
Is that his first?
One after the game.
That's an amazing start for someone with so many caps.
I know.
What was your take on the yellow card, Tim?
I've kind of just accepted that that's going to be a yellow. Now, it was clearly no intent. He slipped, all the rest of it. It was an accident. Yeah. Accidents happen. But I'm now resigned to the fact that that will be a yellow card.
I'm with you on this, Tim. I mean, the big difference for me, I thought he'd get away with it. Because he's clearly not in control of his body. If you're in control of your body and you're still careless, well, that's one thing. But he wasn't. He was falling over. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Maybe he shouldn't have fallen over, JB. Yellow card. Falling over.
Yeah, but maybe if we take its extreme version of this, we should find the groundsman for not making a safe and stable pitch.
Quite right.
Well, the groundsmen are the Springboks now. Because they mow the pitches.
They paint
the lines. They put the posts up.
Yes,
they do. Bring the flags in afterwards.
Hey, just picking up on something, because you clearly and I heard you moonlighting on another podcast, having a good old giggle at me.
What did we say?
Making me sound like some randy schoolboy.
No, I won't have it.
you were mentioning, we got brought up my obsession with
naughty
the
names.
Antics that are going on in the Olympic Village.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I tell you what, mate. I hands up, I mocked you. Until I watched the hockey final. And those Dutch ladies are rather attractive.
Oh yeah, well that was my point. Like the Aussie rugby team were rooming next to the Dutch hockey team, and there's no greater advert for adolescent age boys to really dig in and get in the gym and work hard on the pitch than that.
We might have laughed, Tim, but I completely agree with you.
Yeah,
but I've prepared a little game on that front.
Oh no! Okay. Oh no!
The game is called Frat House or Olympic Village.
Ooh!
I've taken some excerpts from real stories that I found in newspapers, and you have to guess whether they're about a frat house or the Olympic Village.
This is brilliant! What a great, perfect.
Ready?
Go for it.
Two men dressed only in socks, jock straps, and hats stood on dining tables feeding each other lunch.
Right, so it's either a frat house or it's the Olympic Village. Feeding, yep. Okay.
Now, is there a sport in the Olympic that would require a jock strap?
No, but I think most American athletes just wear jock straps anyway, don't they?
I don't know.
Well, you know, that's what they do. They just wear. I mean, I've seen jock straps being employed for like touch rugby and that kind of thing.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it's so. It's American. Yeah, it's an American thing. Oh yeah, there's loads. You know, maybe boxing or taekwondo or wrestling.
What's your answer?
Oh, okay. You want an answer? I'm going to say it's a frat house thing because I can't imagine them being too drunk by lunchtime.
Frat house for me as well, Tim.
You're both wrong. Olympic Village.
What?
Oh, go on. Two French handballers. That was
handball. Is there contact in handball?
Looks like it.
Yeah. Evidently. Right, next one. Two people were having sex right out in the open, on grass, between buildings, getting down and dirty. That is a quote from an eyewitness. But was it from a frat house, party, or an Olympic Village?
Surely that is a frat house party.
I'm going to say Olympic Village.
JB gets the point.
Get in.
That is a quote from US goalkeeper Hope Solo.
Oh.
Who herself apparently had a very high profile A-list celebrity that no one knows back to her room in the Olympic Village.
Wow. Also got slammed for the Zika virus stuff.
I have seen a few pictures of Hope Solo. Do you know what she looks like, Jay?
Yes, I know exactly what Hope Solo looks like.
Yes. Good.
Moving on.
Okay, you're both on zero. Next one.
No, I'm on one.
JB's on one, I'm on zero.
Oh, JB's on one. Sorry. One housemate kicked out one of their roommates and locked them out all night in order to have a marathon session.
Marathon? Well, that's an Olympic event. Olympic Village, of course.
I'm going to say, I have to say Olympic Village.
Correct. That was at this Olympics, and it was two Brazilian synchronized divers.
Have you been using Tim?
No, this was a
horny
this was a big
Olympic
story in Brazil.
Stories. Enter.
Get this. This was a big, big story in Brazil.
Okay,
last week, two synchronized divers were competing together,
okay.
And the night before they were competing, one of them kicked the other one out of the room and had a massive session all night with a Brazilian canoeist.
Wow, there you go. Goodness me.
Yeah, so anyway, I've got other stories, but let's move on.
Okay.
So they were all Olympic Village?
They were all Olympic Village, and there's more. there's orgies in hot tubs. There's... yeah.
Wow, well, there we go. Our first ever quiz that's got nothing to do with rugby.
That's good.
I like it.
I like it.
Sorry.
Okay.
I was inspired by your ribbing of me. I thought I'd just go for it.
I enjoyed it, mate. I enjoyed it.
Excellent. Well done, Tim.
You kept in character. I'll give you that much.
Yeah.
Stash watch. Has anyone seen the bath kit?
I've seen the two bath kits, the home and away.
I've not seen them yet, so I'm going to Google them right now as we're talking.
The home jersey, am I right in saying it isn't really any different?
It's pretty similar, yeah.
Right, okay. So
it's good, it's classic, vintage look.
Yeah.
So am I going to be happy when I see this?
You'll be happy with the home jersey. I'm interested in what you think about the change jersey.
Okay, got it here. So, black shorts, good. Is that the one? It's got like yellow... He's got like a yellow stripe down the... Yeah, this is it. Hoop socks, black shorts, nice badge. Yeah, love it. Brilliant. Absolutely spot on.
Have you got the away kit there?
Is that red?
No.
It's like a grey.
Is it?
It's like a grey change kit.
Let me have a look.
It's a lot better than Northampton's grey change kit of the last year.
So yeah.
I quite like that.
The Northampton one?
Yeah, which makes me a pervert.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't like that at all.
But no, this kit is... I like this away kit.
I quite like it, but I'm just not sure about... I'm never sure about grey kits. I always think it's done for, like,
Phil, can I have a
look? Because fans will wear it with jeans, and it's, and I don't know, it just doesn't feel like a colour that really completely works for me.
Yeah, I was thinking about this, about unusual colours for kits, and grey does come up because I don't think anyone's got their home kit that's grey.
No.
Hang Leicester on. Have had a grey away, a change kit, and I didn't like that one.
Oh, that was disgusting. Yeah. Now, you talk about the Leicester away kit, which was... Now, it is grey, but from certain angles, it was like a dusky pink.
Oh, that was odd, wasn't it?
Yeah. Now, I've got one here, right? Bath Rugby. It's red with stripes on it. It says Dyson across the front. Is that a training top?
I can only assume yes.
That one.
I've not seen that one before. Is that, or is it their European kit?
European jersey?
Unclear.
I'm really struggling to find the kit launch online.
Yeah, I can't really find it. I've got bits and pieces. I've found an infant's kit.
Well, I'll just put a little mention out. If Canterbury would like to use us to help distribute information and whatever of their kit launches, then that would be a start for them, wouldn't it?
Exactly.
That is a training jersey, that blue.
Yeah, and this kit I've got this kit I've got in front of me is actually.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Last year's kit, but without the band.
Well, so. It's not too different. It is pretty similar.
Well, there you go.
So we just mentioned a Leicester change kit. They had a pre-season game against Treviso over the weekend, and I saw their change kit. It, much as I adore their new home jersey, and it's a return to form for Leicester, their change jersey is disgusting, luminous yellow.
I can only assume it's like their third kit. That it's not. It's pretty shocking, isn't it?
It's disgusting. Yeah. I mean. I've made this gag before, but this isn't really a gag. It looks like they're operating heavy machinery. I mean, it actually does look like they're operating heavy machinery.
Yeah. Leinster have just got their third kit as well, and it's a dark blue but a luminous yellow barcode situation.
Why do they do this? I mean, it's very peculiar that you go through all the efforts to get a really nice home kit, and then the third kit, it just seems like someone's plaything. Like, just go and do what you want. And it's never inventive. It's always almost cliched in its horridness. It's just awful.
Yeah, exactly. Can we stop trying to be inventive and wacky or
because it's
huge, huge motifs and stuff? Actually, if you want to do anything with your third kit, why don't you honour some old jerseys and do throwback jerseys?
Yes, well done, Tim. Yeah.
Yeah, England did the... guys, it was probably about 6 or 7 years ago. They had like a historic one, didn't they? That they actually played in the Six Nations against Wales.
Yes, and England have also had one against Australia, which mirrored their original kit when they had their first international against Australia. And I'm pretty sure Australia wore sky blue for it as well. So they looked a bit like the Waratahs, and England had like a dark blue jersey with a red and white band on it, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, completely different. That, to me, makes a lot more sense. Bit of a doff of the cap to the past.
Yes.
Yeah. No. The only team that can wear a luminous on their home jersey is the Ospreys, and that's it.
Oh, God, Ospreys have had some absolutely horrendous kits.
No, I've come around on that, Tim. I think they're brilliant.
Do you?
Yeah, I think they're brilliant, because that is actually what the Ospreys are. They wear horrific kits.
So
if they turned around and all of a sudden had a nice kit, well, that would be bad for the Ospreys. That for them would be edgy. But they need like a luminous purple or a luminous yellow trim. It's just what they do.
Is there any other stash that we've missed out? There's got to be plenty of others, has there?
Ulster launched the...
Oh, that's right.
I think it was their European
Not
kit.
A bad kit, that.
It's okay. It's
that
okay.
Red and white one, are we talking?
Yeah, the one with some fine hoops. I was shocked because the first version I saw, the players were wearing the supporters' kit, which is a which is a really weird way. So the playing kit looks great. The players in supporters' kit it's not a good fix. It's baggy in all the places that should be tight, and tight in all the places that should be baggy.
Yeah, well,
So it looks like Gloucester's kit when Freddie Burns wore it.
Yeah, it's a weird one, that, because you'd have thought players in supporters' kits would actually make the supporters go and buy it because they want to look like their favourite stars. Quite the opposite, in fact.
Yeah.
It's all like baggy on the arms and stuff, and these are big boys.
Yeah.
With the exception of Charles Piatel, who filled his nicely.
He did.
The rest of it, they're just not great. But good kits.
Can I make a stash watch observation?
Of course you can.
That JB, you alluded to at the very start of the of this episode, Harlequins maybe need to increase the size of their shorts.
Perhaps may have. Well, this
possibly.
Is, where do we go with this? I'm not going to say a thing about this because.
No, I know why not. So all I'll say is there is a picture of Jason Leonard at a sort of charity game in Quinn's full Quinn's outfit doing the rounds, which I don't want to make too much light of because there could be a condition, but yeah. Anyway,
good.
another thing for this Harlequins kit. I've been up in Edinburgh this weekend celebrating a friend of the pod Chris Jane's birthday, and. Me and Jay and a few of our friends chipped in and got him a rugby kit.
No, we did.
And we had a little poll between ourselves to see which kit we should buy him. He is an Edinburgh fan, but we wanted to buy him another kit. So we debated the Racing Metro kit and the France kit. But we all agreed that the nicest kit at the moment is the Harlequins. The 150-year jersey is lovely. So we bought him that, and then we decided to get it... personalised with a player's name and number on the back. So who do you think we would have gone for, Tim?
Mobile number, by the way, not playing number.
would it have been Ward 2?
He was on the shortlist.
He made the shortlist, but he wasn't the final selection.
Try again.
Okay. A current player?
Yes, he's still playing.
He still plays.
At Quinn's?
No. We're not going to tell you.
Botica 10?
Correct.
Yes. Great shout, boys.
More Botica news now. Do you know his brother plays for RGC?
No.
Yeah, that was their star signing to play in the Premiership.
Wow.
Good stock, that family. Frano Botica was an amazing player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He played for Two Nations, I think.
Did he play for someone...
Czechoslovakia,
or Croatia, or someone.
Croatia, probably something like that. Something which is inconsequential compared to what.
Well,
you've
just mentioned Croatia, which just reminds me. I feel like I should explain why I'm remote again. It's because I'm leaving no stone unturned, boys, in terms of doing some scouting pre-season. So that is why I'm going to Croatia and Montenegro, just purely on a rugby scouting mission.
You might get called up if Frano Botica, aged 40 something, managed to play for their international team.
I might stick around there. Although I think they're like big boys in that part of the world. They're very tall nations, very big boys.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
it's meant to be a beautiful place to go to as well.
I've not been before, so I'll let you know.
Yeah.
More rugby news.
Yeah.
I'm playing in a game this week.
Are you?
Yes, you are, because I was going to be playing in the same game.
Now, are we allowed to talk about this game, or should we wait till next week?
No, I think we should talk about it. So, I'll give the well. Oh God! And on this one, I've got some incredible dates that I'm going to be involved in. Phil, I've got some dates through that I'll be working at BT Sport. Ooh. Ulster v Exeter is one of them.
Oh,
are you going over to?
Yep.
To the Kingspan.
Yep.
It's been my lifelong dream to visit the Kingspan.
I know. Anyway, so yeah. BT Sport. Are we being?
Shall we mention it or not? I mean, yeah, you definitely count because you work there.
Well, yeah, no, so yes.
I've been on BT Sport. I watch it.
Yeah,
so I count.
Yeah.
So I got asked by the guys at BT Sport, would you play in the game against Sky Sports that's happening Wednesday, East London Rugby Club? If you wanted to go down and watch, could be a bit of crap.
I'm not sure they want it publicised.
Oh, really?
I've got no idea.
Well, I don't know why.
Yeah,
not.
East London Rugby Club. Yeah, that's anyway, where we're playing.
Anyway, No, I don't think it's a secret. Anyway, they're playing. Due to some people on summer holidays, myself included, JB is stepping up. Are you playing front row, Jay?
No, I'm not. I'll be playing eight, probably. I'm too lean and too powerful to be playing prop.
Too lean.
I did say you could play tight head if needed.
I can play anywhere. It doesn't bother me.
1 through to 15.
You up against Paul Wallace?
Well,
can't see it.
Yeah, so this is the problem, right? I have no idea what I'm letting myself into. On the BT side, there is a right mixture, including production staff and all sorts. Now, I don't know what Sky are going to be bringing. Are they going to be bringing Scott Quinnell?
Yeah.
Will Greenwood?
Yeah.
Am I going to unleash the dragon?
No, thanks, Scott. I have no idea. So
if Scott Quinnell is there, I know he's not. He's on the opposition, but you're going to have to ask him to do one of his incredible Hard Knocks motivational team talks for you as well.
Yeah, Scott, I'm just not feeling it, mate. I'm just not feeling it. I'm trying to think who else they have. I mean, they have a collection of pretty good players there, if they decide to play him.
Johnny Wilkinson, Michael Liner, Stuart Barnes, Shane Horgan.
Yeah, and if Shane Horgan's listens to the podcast, he's probably got a score to settle.
Who's going to... I don't know. I don't know whether this is just kind of the team that's not the ex-stars. I don't know. We'll find out. I can't wait to hear.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen. I've got a feeling they've either got too many medals or too much money to play, but we'll see.
Should be a good old crack anyway.
I'd love to see you get smashed by Stuart Barnes.
Unlikely. Yeah, I don't know what the real problem is.
It is unlikely.
And this is a massive problem. If you start talking to some of these lads, like me and Phil went for a few beers with Jonathan Mills and Neil Briggs from Sail Sharks, okay? And we started talking to him, and then before you know it, you're swapping rippy stories. And like a couple of beers in, you're thinking, oh yeah, well maybe, you know, if we played together, we'd be of equal. No, we wouldn't. We wouldn't be of equal talents whatsoever. And if we did, if I was lucky enough to play on the same field as him, I'd probably get killed. And the danger is, I'm now thinking I might be good enough, and I'm going to go and play against some ex-pros and get annihilated. So that's where I'm thinking.
All I will say is if publicising your playing and someone from this podcast is playing is probably not a good idea. If Stuart Barnes was 50-50, he'll definitely be putting his boots on, seeking you out.
And annihilating me. If only we could get your brother to play, Tim.
Maybe he looks pretty similar to me. I could just pretend he's got the same face. I could just pretend he is me.
Yeah, so that'll be exciting for next week.
Where was I going to be played, by the way? Because I'm a different shape than I was when I was playing hooker.
Well, I've got to say, I did email the organiser and say, do not let Tim get away with playing 10. So
that's what I got when I was chatting to all the production staff at BT, and they were like, oh, you played? Oh yeah, I played at Newbury, played Manchester, played blah blah blah. They were like, oh right, where'd you play? What? 10, 12? That's what they said.
I can only imagine your answers. Well, you know, I've got the skills to play 10. But traditionally, I've played hooker. Like a link player, really. You can build the whole game plan around me.
Yeah, quite. Exactly.
Okay, enough navel gazing. Shall we talk about next week's... Oh, no! Irish and Scottish teams, boys.
Irish teams. Let's dissect the Irish transfers in the Pro 12.
Okay. Yeah, we've gone through the Aviva Prem. We had a look at the... Scottish Welsh sides last week. Mm-hmm. Can't remember. Well, yeah, Welsh. Let's take a look at the Irish provinces.
Right. I have no idea what's happening in the Irish provinces, so why don't you take this away, Phil?
So starting with champions elect Connacht. They're losing three of their starting players, three starters from the final in Robbie Henshaw, yep. Ali Muldowney.
Oh, where's he going?
He's going to Grenoble. Huh? Second row. And obviously AJ. AJ has gone to the AJ.
Yeah. Now, did Henry Ryu, or whatever his name is, go before that?
Rodney Ryu.
Rodney, well, sorry.
He didn't play in the final, and they've had Finlay Beelam starting at tight end, but he is going to Ulster.
Peter Beelam is staying, though.
Is he?
Which is a big re-signing as well.
Yeah.
So who have they replaced these lads with?
No big names. I mean, the biggest name is the Lions, as in the Golden Lions, mm-hmm. backup fly half in Marnit Boshoff.
What a name for rugby, by the way.
Good name. Besides that, they've brought in kind of a few no-name players. The only one I've really heard of before, and I imagine neither of you two will have heard of, is Lewis Stevenson, who's former Harlequins, Exeter, and Ulster. Yes, played at Ulster. He's a solid squad second row.
Should be great at the Pro 12 then.
Connor, you would say, are going to be a little bit weaker than last year.
Yeah, but they've kept the most important guy.
What's his name? The other centre.
Who? Pat Lamb.
Pat Lamb. I can't remember his bloody name. Bundyaki.
Bundyaki. Yeah, that's the other the other centre.
Yeah, I mean, I think those two, that's basically the key to most of their success.
They kept Matt Healy, who was superb, and O'Hallahan, the fullback, and the Nigerian winger. So yeah, in summary, Connor, they have retained most of their squad, albeit they've lost three very important elements, three key components. So you'd argue that it would be slightly weaker this season coming than they were last year. So it would be very difficult for them to repeat.
Can I just make a quick observation / ask a question, which is regarding AJ McGinty?
Yes.
I know for a fact that AJ McGinty was recommended to Steve Diamond by, do you know who?
Pat Lamb.
Pat Lamb actually phoned Steve Diamond up and said, I've got a player here. If you want him, it's a shame I can't keep him. I'd love to know why he couldn't keep him. I've got a feeling it's something to do with his like playing for the USA and not being an Irish player.
Possibly, because there's been something recently with one of Ulster signing, Coetzee.
Yeah.
I never know how to pronounce it.
No.
Thanks, Jay.
Like the Marlin.
So he's injured for 9 months. And he was the ball carrying back row, but the IRFU blocked them getting in an injury replacement.
For what reason?
I don't know. Don't know the reason. I was reading an article on it earlier this week. It was the IRFU have to approve any transfers that come through, and they prevented them from doing it.
Yeah, so I think that's why he's gone. Because otherwise, why would he get rid of an Irishman playing in Connacht and playing well?
Yes. Yeah.
And apparently he's as Irish as they get.
Yes. But he just happened to go over to university in USA for a bit.
Yep. Next one.
Leinster. So they've lost a huge number of players. The headlines, Ben Teo's obviously gone. Ian Madigan's gone. Marty Moore's gone to Wasps. Wise old scrum halves, Isaac Boss and Owen Reddin have both gone.
Ooh, where have they gone? Are they retired?
Reddin's retired. Isaac Boss has gone back to New Zealand.
Okay.
Not to play Super Rugby. He's gone to Waikato. Luke Fitzgerald's had to retire.
That's a shame.
Yeah, it is a shame. So they've lost quite a few big names and good players. And they've only brought in a handful of players. So they brought in Henshaw, obviously, which is like a direct replacement for Ben Teo. You'd expect him to be starting inside centre.
Do you think it isn't a direct replacement for Ben Teo?
Well, I think he will go and start at inside centre.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't think they're similar players.
Henshaw's a big boy and he can carry strongly.
Because he's always played 13 at Connacht.
Yeah.
And 12 for Ireland. It'd be interesting to see if they play him in the same kind of role as Teo.
He even played 15 for Connacht earlier.
Yeah, he did, you're right.
So they brought him in. They brought in Ian Nagle as a squad second row, presumably from London Irish.
Yep.
They brought in Niall Morris as a squad utility back from Tigers. And Jameson Gibson-Park as their other scrum half, because they've got this young guy, McGrath, I think it's Luke McGrath, as a scrum half, who looks promising.
Tim?
Yeah, I'm not especially inspired by really any of those signings. I saw Nagle play for London Irish a few times. I don't think he'll trouble the first team at all.
No.
At any point in the season. So I'm a little bit flat by a lot of that.
Do you know what?
Henshaw aside.
I actually think, I mean, it's not a place that struggles for money. It's well funded. It's a big name which can attract big players. I actually think I actually think the fact they haven't signed anyone, if as a betting man, means they've got a lot of stuff coming in from the academy, which is a good sign. And the guys I've lost, only really is Ben Teo a big name, a big active player. Well, they've replaced him with another international.
Yeah, that's true.
The rest of it sounds like getting rid of Deadwood, to be fair.
Yeah, and I agree with you, Jay. Looking at their squad and looking at the number of young Irish players they've got multiple young Irish players in almost every position, with probably the exception of fullback, where they've got Nasewa, Kirchner and Rob Carney, who are one Irish but non-young. You've got lads like Ringrose outside centre, like Luke McGrath.
That's exactly how they should be doing it, to be fair. Like, if you've got a backup fly half, let him go. You know, let your two experienced old heads go. Just let them go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Just one thing, because, again, this is a ground of... well, I've not been to Dublin to watch a rugby union match, but I'll the European weekend, 15th of October, I'll be reporting for BT at Leinster Cast. Where will they play that? Will it be at the Aviva or?
I'd say the Aviva. If it's a European game, I'd say the Aviva, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Is the honest answer?
Do you know the Aviva? Apparently, the reason that, and I love it when my stories start with apparently, it means they're wrong. But apparently, the reason that one side is so small is because there's a cantankerous old solicitor that lives on the other side of it, and he doesn't want his light being affected.
It's nothing to do with like a train line or a river or...
No. It's one solicitor. And as soon as he's dead...
It's a right to light, mate. You've got a right to light.
Absolutely right. Absolutely
like, Old Trafford, like when you look at Old Trafford football ground, it looks ridiculous.
Yeah.
Three sides of it are absolutely enormous.
Enormous.
And one tiny stand. And that's because of the train line.
That's what Twickers was like until... fairly recently.
Yeah, you're right.
So as soon as he's dead, they're going to basically bolt on the rest of the Aviva Stadium. That's what I'm trying to say.
Okay, so Leinster, the actual guys they've brought in, no great shakes, besides Robbie Henshaw. But that perhaps does inspire confidence in their team. Mm. So it'll be interesting to see how they go. Munster... I'm not really sure what to make of this. No one I've really heard of who's gone, apart from BJ Botha, who's been released as a 36-year-old prop. So
fine, whatever.
Yeah. No one I've really heard of who's come in, besides Sam Arnold, who's a young centre/winger from Ulster. They brought in a couple of South Africans who I've not really heard of, who presumably both from the Stormers, who are presumably going to be squad players.
Well, I mean, let's consider this generally. So what we're effectively saying is players moving to Ireland to play, there's not really, Piat our side, a huge name. And that as it has done, if you look over the last 10 years rather than the last year where it's been a bit iffy, but that's served the national team so well not to spend money outside of Ireland.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a bit more to this as well, Tim. I think... And I'll need someone to clear this up for me. I'll start with the word apparently again. If in Ireland, you've got to have, I think, of all the four regions, one Irishman playing in each position.
I think you're only allowed...
You're only allowed one non-Irishman in any given position.
Sorry, that's right. So, you know, if Ruben Pienaar is starting for Ulster, which I imagine he'll start, will he?
Yes.
Touch and go.
No, he'll start.
It means that the rest of them can't have a foreign scrum half.
Now, it's not... I don't think it's quite that black and white because of the size of the squads, but it comes back to the IRFU. You have to personally approve every single sign-in. So if they're not Irish or can become Irish qualified, then...
It'd be a weird one, wouldn't it, if you said you can't have a scrum half because of Ruan Pienaar, and then they get the equivalent of Ruan Pienaar at Munster who can play full-back... fly half or scrum half.
Yeah.
I wonder how they go about policing that.
So that's why it's like someone like Jared Payne, who has played more of his stuff at more of his game time at 15, but has been playing 13 for Ireland.
Sounds like it's all going to end up in a very messy compromise.
Well, so you said there's only one big name coming in, Charles Piatow. There's two into Ulster because of Coetzee.
Even though he won't be playing for the first 8 months?
He injured himself in April and it's a 9-month injury.
Oh, that's horrific.
Yeah. Mm. So it'll be January.
That's not too bad.
It's not too bad, but it does leave a problem. So Ulster's back row, we've got plenty of guys who are good, hardy back row players. Guys like Chris Henry and Reedy and those boys. But we've not really got a big ball carrier. We used to have Nick Williams, but he's gone to the Cardiff Blues.
Probably right.
We've got Roger Wilson, but he's probably a little bit past it. And so we brought in Kurtzy Kuitsi.
We're going to, please, someone help. Someone do a tweet us at Rugby Podcast.
Phonetically tweet us.
Phonetic.
People have done Kurtzy repeatedly, and I never seem to be able to remember that one. So that is a big problem for Ulster.
Yeah.
The other problem for Ulster is the front row situation. So we brought in Rodney Aryu. Hooker, we're okay. We got Best and Herring. We brought in Rodney Aryu, and we got Herbst. But we always just feel a little bit light up front.
It actually looks like you're light up front when you go into playoffs.
Yes, yeah. But second row, we're pretty good. Van der Merwe, Henderson, obviously, and Dan Tui.
Would you not rather get a real second row and move Henderson to the back row?
Well, I think that's what they'll end up doing at the start of the season. They'll have to have Henderson in the back row.
Just when they had Miller, he was such a monster for them.
Yeah.
And then you could have Henderson in the back row. And he was a monster.
Monster. And the Piatau signing, it's almost... So back row and front row a little bit weak. The back line, the Munster's back line is very, very good. I mean, so Pienaar and Paddy Jackson, and then your centres, take your pick, any two from Darren Cave, Luke Marshall, McCloskey, Alden, and Jared Payne.
The problem is there, right? You are considering that as four players going into two positions. Is that right?
It's five players.
Sorry, five players into two positions.
Yeah.
I don't see it like that.
Okay.
I see it as four players going for one position to go with McCloskey.
Wow. Well,
because when you see him galloping down the 12 channel, it's exceptional.
So it's four into one. And you say, oh, well, we solved that by pushing Jared Payne to fullback.
Oh,
then Piatau's come in.
But he goes on the wing occasionally as well.
He does go on the wing occasionally, but you've got Tommy Bowe, Andrew Trimble, club captain this year, and Craig Gilroy on the wings.
So what we need is the same scientists that are working on trying to create one super hooker out of Harlequins.
Yes.
Hookers, we need someone to do the same at Ulster.
No, you're wrong, Tim, because they've already got super centres.
Yeah.
They've got too many of them.
They've all got all the attributes.
Yeah, they're all super centres, whereas Harlequins have got three substandard hookers.
Yeah.
This is a whole new level of scientific endeavour.
That back line, you've got there, so in the centres and the back three, you've got five positions, and you've got if you add Louis Luddick, you've got 10 players competing for those who are all outstanding. It's a strange one, Piatau, because he will be a marquee player. It's a huge amount of money, and he's brilliant, and he will be playing, but it's almost like we don't actually really need him. He's not the essential component.
It's not improving it overall 15 that much, is it?
It improves it by a smaller margin than if we'd have got, say, Louis Picamoles.
Oh.
Or someone like that.
Oh.
Did you see the interview? There's an interview done this week with Louis Picamoles, and I love the way he's talking. So Louis Picamoles, incredible international player, been around the block, 30 years of age, and he's saying that the Aviva Premiership is really good for his development. He's still using that term, which has made me even more excited about Louis Picamoles.
That's a media term, isn't it? It's like, how are you going to approach next week's game? We're just going to try and get better. We're going to do one game at a time. We're going to try and get better. Yeah. It's all about the...
Going to focus on performance and the results take care of themselves.
Yeah. Boring, 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 boring. Why didn't you just say it's great for my bank account? I like it here. I'm French, got a lot of style, but I can also pick up some Northampton shoes.
Oh, the shoes.
The shoes, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
I've been fully acquainted with the many squat racks in Northampton.
Exactly right.
I've been working on my quads. I've had so many people again mentioning that I keep... Do I have a thing about... Do I keep mentioning quads to an unhealthy degree?
I wouldn't say unhealthy, Tim.
No, squatting's very healthy.
I I also appreciate a good quad.
We all? Where were we? Oh, yeah. So, Ulster's backs. Quick question for Phil here. Does this imply that they're going to be taking the Pro 12 very seriously? Because they can't fail not to take it seriously, just through squad rotation.
Yes. They will be taking it very, very seriously.
Exactly my thought as I was listening to you talking about the strength in depth and the embarrassment of riches they have is the last couple of years with the adjustment of the way that you qualify for the European Cup, and it's been a much more attritional process for the Irish provinces, Welsh regions and Scottish sides than it has been. This is precisely what they've needed to do.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Going back to my Twitter week from hell, one of the things that Welsh and Irish fans and Scottish fans don't really appreciate is the single biggest factor in the Pro 12 being a good competition. It's not due to their own ingenuity or coming up with some clever scheme themselves. It's because the English and French forced them to be competitive. Forced them. So, yeah, I actually think this is a statement of intent by Ulster saying that they are going to take the Pro 12 very seriously this year. And what happens, by the way, if Paddy Jackson's rested?
There's a couple of young lads. There's the guy they brought in from Bath, Brett Heron, and a young lad called Johnny McPhillips.
Who was awesome in the Under-20 World Championships. I've mentioned him on one of the podcasts earlier in the summer. He got injured and so couldn't play in the final, but looked really, really excellent.
So there you
go. Really good.
And you always have the option of pushing Olding in or equally pushing Pienaar out.
Yeah, as I say, Olding does look the most fly-halfy of your centres.
Olding?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
But actually, forget it.
Yeah, Olding.
Olding. Okay, shall we move on to this week's games?
What do you mean this? Oh, yeah. Well, I think we kind of covered those off, the Rugby Championship ones, earlier on.
Well, let's just say...
The upcoming fixtures, do you mean, JB?
Yes, I do.
Okay, cool. Well, I've got one little interesting thing which I thought you might like, because we've just been talking about the Irish provinces and we've sort of left the Aviva Premiership, but that is getting closer and closer. And this week, the betting odds for the new season have come out. I think it's quite revealing because it basically says how the bookies imagine the table to look. With the odds to, if you take the odds to win as where they put you in the pecking order, then no surprise, Saracens at top, Wasps second, Exeter third, Leicester fourth, Northampton fifth, Bath sixth, which is performing 20-1 to win the Aviva Premiership.
Wow.
Which I think slightly better than we have been talking them up.
I think I said eighth for them, have I?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Harlequins seven, Gloucester eight, Sale Sharks nine.
Oh, behave.
In the betting odds.
Behave.
Wow.
The bookies have no idea. Oh, mind you, watch them get relegated this year now. Gloucester, where do you say they were?
One above.
Right, so that's going to cost... If that comes to fruition, I'm going to owe a fan on Twitter £10. £10 for every position Gloucester finish higher than Sale.
Okay.
And that goes both ways.
Newcastle are in at 10th, 300-1. And the two equal rank outsiders at 500-1, Bristol and Worcester.
They have got this so wrong. Because those two teams you've mentioned are not equal. The more I think about Bristol, the more I think they're going to go down. Because they play Toulon rugby, because they are the Toulon of the Championship, and the Premiership's a lot different. They're not a clever team. They're not an inventive team. So unless they've changed everything overnight, they're going to be in for a rude and horrible awakening when they have their first game. Worcester are a far more balanced team than Bristol, in my opinion. And tough sale that low. They've just got it wrong. They've just got it purely wrong.
Unfortunately, it won't make you any money because what they have got correct is Saracens winning the league.
Well, how much would you get if you guessed the entire league right?
1 through to 12.
Yeah.
You'd have to. There's a bespoke odds package you're going to have to go for there.
How did you do that?
You'd have to phone up a bookmaker. There'll be a bookie.
Let's do it. Let's each of us write down our 1 to 12. We'll get in touch with a bookmaker and do it.
That's a good idea. How long until the Premiership kicks off? 2 weeks now?
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
So next week, and then it's on.
Yeah, next weekend will be the last podcast we do before Premiership's back.
How about next week then? We do a podcast purely on our 1 to 12. We all pick it individually and we'll just do that.
Well, let's do that as a little short, separate pod.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go next, Tim. Great minds.
Ah, clever. A little midweek pod to be released.
Ooh, yeah, I'm very excited. Like it.
And then a year down the line, you can listen back and laugh at us when we get it all completely horrendously wrong.
Well, I'm glad that we have a kind of topical, ever-changing podcast, because if people did go back and listen to old episodes, we'd sound ridiculous.
Have you actually done that, Tim? Because I've done it. And I sound ridiculous when I said Exeter would win the league 3 years ago. I don't think they made the playoffs.
Yeah, mate, we've all done it. We've all been there.
Yeah. On a few occasions.
Oh, no, but I guaranteed it. Like, 100% guaranteed. Okay, so Argentina, we won't talk about New Zealand, Australia, because what's there to talk about?
Yeah, well, no, nothing.
Will it be a bigger margin?
That is a good question.
More than 30...
It can't be, can it? Can it?
More than 37 points or whatever it was? At that, 35 points?
At that point then, what happens? Do they just give up on... Do they give up? Do they... change everything?
I don't know. I just don't know.
Oh, God.
Tune in to watch the end of Australian rugby next week.
Yeah, the scary thing about that New Zealand-Australia game on Saturday was that New Zealand usually rely on their fitness to have a really strong last 10, 15, 20 minutes. And they were poorest by a mile. They were really poor and all the mistakes happened in the last 20.
Yeah. They left points out there, didn't they?
And I wonder if that's what they'll do. They'll go away, they'll look at the video and say, this is not acceptable, this is how we... win our games right at the end, and they put even more points on Australia.
Yeah.
What a miserable place for Australia to be. So miserable.
Travelling over to Wellington as well.
I'm genuinely upset for them.
But then the other one, Argentina hosting South Africa.
This is what I hope. Regardless of the result, we actually see a full stadium in Argentina, because the South Africa stadium was not full. You could see the seating. It wasn't a good crowd. I hope we have a full bouncing stadium in Argentina, and I would like a healthy Argentine win. I think they might win by a slender margin.
If you'd have asked me this last week, I would have said South Africa are going to roll them over twice. I've got a sneaky feeling for an Argentina win.
Phil?
Now, I just looked up where the game is. It's not in Buenos Aires. It's in Salta, in a 20,000-seater stadium.
Okay, so it should be full.
So, yeah.
A cauldron.
Yeah.
And hopefully away from the bright lights for those playboys.
I'm sure they'll find some trouble.
Go on.
I really, really, really want an Argentina win. And I think it'll be very close again. But I think they might just do it. So I'm going to say Argentina by a narrow, very narrow margin.
Go on.
I think that's my heart over my head, to be honest, because I really want them to win it.
Yeah, I feel a bit like that.
No, I think that they will do it. I think that they will. Any more from any more?
Well, just I think, Phil, you should throw a little heads up about something exciting that's coming soon.
Yes. We mentioned it previously. When I won a wonderful Kane shirt, Hurricane shirt, a great
your website. Your beloved Canes.
My beloved Canes. A great little website called StatBacker. We're going to be introducing a stat predictions online game associated with the Viva Premiership. We'll be launching it next weekend, so keep your ears peeled for that. And I think it's a really, really interesting idea, this game. It's very, very good. So look out.
Will we all be in a league? Will they get to compete against the geniuses of me, Tim, and yourself?
If you're willing to go for it, if you're willing to enter yourself in the league, then you can do.
I'll strongly consider it.
You know a thing or two about stats, don't you, Jay?
Not really. I know correlation doesn't equal causation.
Yes.
Absolutely. This isn't just stats so much as it's kind of picking an aspect and... just using your nous and intellect and rugby intelligence to to have an educated guess.
But the league, all of the way that the league would be set up will be chosen by us three a week in advance. So okay. we'll read it out on the podcast. We'll give you a few tips, and then you can compete with us on the website.
Superb. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, keep your ears peeled for that next week. There's one final job we have, because again, the amount of special whole podcast listener disciples that listen to the end for the special hashtag, and the number of Iron Lion Ryan hashtags on Twitter was phenomenal once again. So,
brilliant.
What on earth is the end of pod hashtag going to be this week?
I wonder if we should rest it for a week.
Or like, I don't know, fap over faff? No.
No.
I really enjoyed the Olympics or frat house. Hashtag Olympics or frat house.
The new France.
The new France.
In referring to Argentina.
I think if it's not substantial enough, we should rest it for a week.
Okay.
And then when it is substantial, next
What about
week,
something to do with the bugging? What? I don't know.
Yeah, let's go for that. We'll see what the reaction is after a rest week.
Yeah, let's put our precious hashtag to bed, and next week we'll come back stronger and harder than the Australian sevens team rooming next door to the Dutch hockey team. That was for you, Tim.
Yes, thank you, Jay. Now, listen, I'll tell you what I'll do as well, because I want to make sure I put our money where our mouth is. And I was saying that for those people that do listen to the very end and use a hashtag, we will sort some prizes out. I have had a conversation with someone, and there should be some goodies available for that eventuality very, very soon. So, excellent. Yes, let's leave it and go big on it next week.
Excellent. And hopefully have a prize as well.
Right. Yes, okay. Prizes.
Right, again. Well, Tim, enjoy your holiday.
Thank you very much.
Phil, guess I'll see you around. And
thanks, mate.
That's all right, Ben. And just as a memory of the 2 weeks that was, here's Ben Ryan, Lion, Iron, whatever it is.
Yes.
Bye bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.